Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side A of For the Record Program Number 324, Biological Warfare, AIDS, Ebola, and Apartheid. This is being recorded on September 9th of the year 2001. This program is going to be supplemental to For the Record Program Number 317, and is also going to be a supplemental broadcast to a line of inquiry that I've been developing on this program since really early 1984, namely an investigation of AIDS and later also Ebola as possible applications of biological warfare. We're also going to be examining a biological warfare program that was conducted by the apartheid regime of South Africa. This in conjunction with elements of a number of different countries' national security and industrial establishments, including elements of our own. We're going to be revisiting a story in particular that we took a look at in For the Record Program Number 317, as well as numbers 225 and 228, namely the death of Dr. Larry Ford in Irvine, California. Ford killed himself after he was implicated in the attempted murder of a business partner of his. It turns out that Ford himself had a very, very interesting background. He had worked at various times for elements of military intelligence, elements of CIA, and also, in particular, he had worked on a clandestine biological warfare program for the apartheid regime of South Africa. And he had been, Dr. Larry Ford, that is, had been involved in genetically engineering a number of microorganisms, or apparently working on genetically engineered microorganisms for the apartheid regime. And these specifically, among other things, were designed to kill people of African extraction and not to harm white people. And we're going to review some aspects of Larry Ford's case, and also we're going to examine some information from a recent book called The Plague Wars, which supplements the information in the article about Larry Ford. Now, we're going to begin by reviewing some sections of an article that comprised the vast bulk of For the Record Program Number 317. That's an article that appeared in Los Angeles Magazine's issue of July of 2001. The article is by Edward Humes, last name H-U-M-E-S. It's titled The Medicine Man, and it's about Larry Ford. And this article describes Larry Ford, and does so from the position of, among other people, Peter Fitzpatrick, who had been assigned by the FBI to infiltrate the apartheid regime's weapons procurement program in the 1980s. In that context, Peter Fitzpatrick had been involved with a fellow named Gideon Bauer, last name B-O-U-W-E-R, who was a South African trade attaché in the L.A. area, and one of the enterprises that they had been involved in was the obtaining of what Bauer referred to as Kaffir-killing germs, or germs that would kill black people only. And this, again, was done in conjunction with Dr. Larry Ford. Now, Larry Ford has at various times marched to the tune of more than one drummer. He has worked at times, as I indicated, for elements of CIA, for elements of military intelligence, and in particular worked for a fellow named Bossen, that is a fellow named Wouter Bossen, and I may be mispronouncing that. It's an Afrikaans name, W-O-U-T-E-R, and the last name is B-A-S-S-O-N. Bossen had been in charge of something called Project Coast, and this was an apartheid regime enterprise that used biological warfare in the covert wars that were conducted by South Africa, both within its own borders and in particular with regard to wars conducted in territories adjacent to South Africa, areas such as Namibia and the country of Zimbabwe, formerly Rhodesia, when it was a white, in effect, a white apartheid regime. Also, it was noted after Larry Ford had committed suicide that Ford apparently was in contact with a group of international white supremacists and fascists who were looking at, among other things, the use of biological warfare, perhaps to return whites to a position of power in South Africa. And in the second part of the program, the second part of For the Record Program 324, we're going to take a look at the possibility of something called De Organisatie, or the Spider Network, sort of a revanchist South African fascist organization in exile that was looking to return the white supremacists to power in South Africa. And it would appear that Wouter Bossen and also some of the data and perhaps technology from Project Coast were still available to this Organisatie network. And as we're going to see in this program, veterans of the South African Biological Warfare Program and veterans of the South African National Security Establishment were very much afraid of the putative power of deorganización, and we'll look at that in the second part of the program. One of the things to consider is the possibility that elements of deorganización might very well be in league with what I call the Underground Reich, and that they also are in touch with similar elements inside of the United States, including elements that might at some point turn the biological warfare expertise of people like Larry Ford and Wouter Bassin and Project Coast against the United States. Indeed, there are indications, and we'll review these from For the Record Program 317, that some of the Project Coast people had contingency plans to use some of this biological warfare technology against the enemies of the apartheid regime, apparently including the United States. And as we've looked at in, among other programs, For the Record Program 225, the Bruder Bond, which is, will be alluded to in some of the excerpts of this article that I'm about to review for you, the Bruder Bond was the inner core of the National Party, the white supremacist party of the apartheid years. That organization was the basic power group of the apartheid regime. It was specifically modeled after and in the World War II period allied with the Nazi Party of Germany, as we looked at in Miscellaneous Archive Show M8, and as we reviewed in For the Record Program number 225. And the possibility that right-wing extremist networks, including elements involved with our own national security establishment, might at some point, turn against the United States and use some of this terrifying and deadly technology against the United States, along the lines of the scenario presented in Serpent's Walk, a Nazi tract that I've accessed for many years on this show. Well, that's a possibility that I think should be seriously considered, and one that is not to be too readily dismissed. Now, turning to Los Angeles Magazine of July of 2001, the Edward Hume's article, The Medicine Man, about Dr. Larry Ford. And again, this article was dealt with at greater length. In fact, virtually the whole article was read into the record at in For the Record Program number 317. Speaking of Victor Ray, an Irvine police detective who basically kept the search for the truth concerning Dr. Larry Ford going when others appeared to be abandoning the chase in the wake of Ford's suicide, the article writes as follows. The he referred to here is Irvine police detective Victor Ray, who's sort of the hero of the search for the truth about Dr. Larry Ford. Speaking of Ray, he steered the investigation to Ford's backyard, where men in Andromeda-strained suits would evacuate a neighborhood and haul away an arsenal of toxins, germs, plastic explosives, and guns. In the process, they unearthed a trail that stretched all the way from the CIA to apartheid-era South Africa and Dr. Wouter Bassin, the man who ran the country's clandestine bioweapons program. The question still plaguing federal, state, and local investigators is a simple but urgent one. What was Ford planning to do with his germs and bioweapons expertise? The discovery of militia movement and racist literature among Ford's papers has raised the possibility that he offered biological or chemical weapons to terrorist groups. And again, the possibility of deorganización, or perhaps sort of a Bruder Bond in exile, being among the elements that Ford worked with, is not one to be too readily dismissed. The confidence suppository alluded here is a genetically engineered suppository, a prophylactic suppository for women that, among other things, was supposed to prevent AIDS. But this technology appears to have dual applications. Turning once again to The Medicine Man by Edward Humes, concerns have also mounted over a patented feature of his, Ford's, inner confidence suppository, the microencapsulation of beneficial bacteria. It turns out this architecture could double as an ideal delivery system for bioweapons, allowing otherwise fragile disease organisms to be seated virtually anywhere. Ford, in essence, had patented the prescription for a perfect microscopic time bomb. That, says Ray, scares the hell out of everyone. And skipping down, among the projects that Ford was engaged in for elements of CIA included researching Iraqi capabilities during the Gulf War and sneaking into epidemic hot zones, as it's put here, to gather samples of organisms that cause the Ebola and Marburg viruses. In some of our discussions with Dr. Leonard Horowitz, the author of the book Emerging Viruses, we've discussed Ebola and Marburg as biological warfare applications, and again, some of that information is available in interviews interviews with Dr. Leonard Horowitz that are available from Spitfire. Time permitting, I will tell you more about Spitfire later in the program. What we're going to look at after reviewing some of the information about Ford, his work for Project Coast, Wouter Bassen, and some of his work with the South African Army about AIDS prevention, we're going to take a look at allegations by veterans of Project Coast who worked with, or allegedly worked with, Dr. Wouter Bassen, that they had indeed been involved in deliberately spreading Ebola and AIDS as weapons of biological warfare in some of the equatorial countries of South Africa. And that's the first time I've heard, it's the first printed allegation that I have seen of where someone has actually claimed to have used these as weapons. There's been a line of inquiry, again, that I've been engaged in on this program since 1984, looking at AIDS as a genetic engineered BW weapon, but this is the first time I have seen a printed account of someone claiming to have used AIDS and Ebola and Marburg as biological warfare weapons, although there is no claim here to have developed them as BW weapons. Turning once again to the medicine man about Dr. Larry Ford, this again by Edward Humes. Ford told the Rileys and others his subsequent work for the military and the CIA included research on biological and chemical weapons, consulting on Iraqi capabilities during the Gulf War, and sneaking into epidemic hot zones in Africa to gather samples of such killer organisms as the Ebola and Marburg viruses. And skipping down again in this article, the text relates the account of Dr. Ford's work with the South African Army attempting to prevent AIDS. Now, it turns out that this AIDS prevention program was for whites only, and as we're going to see in some excerpts from the book The Plague Wars, one of the considerations that was always present in the South African biological warfare program was taking prophylactic measures to see to it that members of the South African military and intelligence services would not become infected with some of these agents, which again were being deliberately spread by other operatives in certain areas. Speaking of Ford's work on AIDS prevention for the South African military in the apartheid period, but the AIDS prevention program was for whites in the military, not blacks. A secret right-wing South African organization, the Bruderbond, conducted studies around this same time that suggested that the AIDS epidemic could make whites the majority in the future. Since then, through the new government's Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which was formed to probe the abuses of apartheid, information has surfaced about a secret South African bioweapons program. Codenamed Project Coast, it was run by another Ford friend and financial benefactor, Dr. Wouter Bassen. Nobel had administrative oversight. That's the general who would, Dr. Neil Nobel, K-N-O-B-E-L, who had been overseeing Dr. Ford. Now, remember the name Wouter Bassen, and remember the term Project Coast. Those are two of the main names involved with the project that Ford was engaged in, and also another fellow who was interviewed under the pseudonym of Gert, who claims to have worked on behalf of Project Coast and for Wouter Bassen, and been involved in deliberately spreading Ebola and AIDS. Turning once again to the article The Medicine Man, speaking of Wouter Bassen, Edward Humes writes, Bassen's alleged ties to hundreds of poisonings and assassinations in South Africa and in the neighboring countries of Angola and Zimbabwe earned him the nickname Dr. Death in the South African press. Documents indicating he had arranged an offshore bank account for Ford were found in Ford's papers after his death. The commission uncovered evidence that whole villages, including an Angolan settlement of several hundred people suspected of harboring rebels, may have been decimated by Project Coast weapons. This finding parallels information Nielsen's ex-girlfriend provided. She said Ford more than once boasted of wiping out an entire Angolan village during a civil war. And remember Project Coast. Remember that's the organization that Larry Ford was working for. Remember Wouter Bassen. He ran Project Coast. Larry Ford worked for him, as did Gert, another fellow that we're going to hear interviewed in a book I'm about to excerpt. Remember, too, Dr. Ford's work in preventing the spread of AIDS to the South African military during the apartheid era. Remember also the Bruderbond, the Nazi offshoot that was the core of the apartheid government regime. The Bruderbond Avant is basically, according to this article, was contemplating the use of AIDS in order to restore whites to a dominant position in South Africa. And that dovetails very neatly with some of my ruminations in For the Record Program 225. And also, remember that Dr. Ford was researching AIDS, was researching Ebola and Marburg for possible BW purposes, this allegedly for elements of CIA. And as we're going to see, both AIDS and Ebola were allegedly used as biological warfare weapons by Wouter Bassin and Project Coast. Those allegations were contained in a book called The Plague Wars. The Plague Wars was copyrighted in hardcover in 1999 by St. Martin's Press. It was co-authored by Tom Mangold, M-A-N-G-O-L-D, and Jeff Goldberg. The ISBN number is 0-312-20353-5. And there's considerable discussion of the application of genetic engineering to biological warfare in this book. And in particular, it deals at considerable length with Project Coast. It deals with Dr. Wouter Bassin and a couple of people who had working knowledge of Bassin's operations on behalf of Project Coast maintained that among the agents that were used as biological warfare weapons by the apartheid-era regime in South Africa, as well as in areas like Namibia and in Zimbabwe, formerly Rhodesia, were AIDS and Ebola. And remember, Larry Ford was researching how to prevent the spread of AIDS from black African to white South African military men. He also was looking into the Ebola and Marburg viruses as well. Now, Palm here alludes to Nico Palm. He is a former operative on behalf of the South African Defense Force. Specifically, he worked as an engineer. And in that regard, he had firsthand knowledge of some of the Project Coast operations. And he introduced the authors to an operative who agreed to be interviewed under the name of Gert, spelled G-E-R-T, who was involved with Project Coast. He was involved with Wouter Bassin. Like Bassin, he had been a colonel in the South African military. And he discusses not only some of the methodology that was used to spread various biological warfare agents, including AIDS. He also specifically discusses the use of Ebola as well as AIDS as biological warfare weapons. Turning to Mangold and Goldberg's The Plague Wars, we read, and Nico Palm again is a South African Defense Force engineer. Palm, again that's Nico Palm, P-A-L-M, says he has a primary source who used biological warfare against the enemies of South Africa during the covert border struggles of the 1980s. This contact may be prepared to talk on guaranteed, non-attributable terms. 3 days later, we drive in Nico's pristine BMW to an office near Centurion Park, a few miles from Pretoria. Gert, as he wishes to be called, is waiting. He's about 50 years old, with brown hair showing no sign of gray, slim, with very slightly puffy eyes. He wears a short-sleeved checkered shirt. Nothing very distinctive. His English is good, and he is used to giving orders and having them obeyed. He says he wants the truth told. Like Nico Palm, he is angry at the many crusaders who benefited financially from the dirty wars in the bush and left their underlings to face the music. He wants no money nor favors and has no objection to being audiotaped for accuracy. The noise of the air conditioning in the office overwhelms the tape recorder and has to be switched off. The heat is stifling and it's well over 95 degrees Fahrenheit outside. A secretary brings in endless coffee and orange juice. Gert teases with some hints about his personal background, but not enough to make an identification. I was recruited by Wouter Bassin, he says casually. I had the same rank and status. I was a colonel. Gert belonged to a task force attached to 7th Med. Slowly, his story emerges like a jigsaw with pieces that ought to fit, but never quite interlock. That's how he wants it. What was used in the bush? Thallium, botulinum toxin in food and water, hepatitis A. Look, it was a dirty war. Against whom? Anyone we were acting against. The enemy, unquote. How do you know this? Because I was there when it was put in, unquote. The bacteria and viruses, he says, were delivered in containers and used in northern Namibia. Bacteria were placed into a water source, quote, wherever you identify one, or wherever you identify one destined for human consumption, unquote. When hepatitis A was used, we had to make sure that the operators had a gamma globulin injection first. Cholera was pretty widely used also. I used it. I personally was involved in the Eastern Transvaal against Frelimo in Mozambique. We placed the cholera upstream. We looked out for areas, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist to work this out, where they didn't filter the water or don't clean it, places where there was no chlorination, so you drop it in and prod it. Who did this? Soldiers? And Gert goes on to say that the people who were used for operations like this were people who were already compromised and had criminal backgrounds. I would note that in the Serpent's Walk scenario, the people who distribute the Starock and Paco viruses, genetically engineered viruses of ostensibly Russian origin, that wipe out much of the world's population, including much of the American population on the coasts and in the heartland, and it also kills the president and the vice president of the United States, leads to a declaration of martial law by the Speaker of the House of Representatives, who then becomes President of the United States and invites the Underground Reich into a ruling coalition to govern the United States. And again, bear in mind that the scenario presented in Serpent's Walk dovetails with a lot of the information, not only in the book The Plague Wars, but also in the article The Medicine Man. And I would note that people who were compromised, who had criminal backgrounds and could be easily disposed of or discredited, were selected in order to spread the biological warfare weapons, according to Gert. Turning once again to the medicine man, who did this? Soldiers? No, 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 no. Never, never, ever did it happen by ordinary soldiers. You can't blame any of the normal forces for that, although sometimes some of our own soldiers did get infected by the cholera that we put in the water. This is what I'm saying. Usually the guy who did it, who placed it, was dispensable. He would have been very well selected. He's someone you can compromise. He's either on drugs, or he drinks too much, or he's got his hand in the cookie jar. That was all done here in Pretoria. Who did the selection? Bassin himself? He selected the guy with the criminal background. It was a criminal operation. The guy would wear civilian clothes. Now, specifically with regard to the allegations by Gert that both AIDS and Ebola were used as biological warfare weapons in some of the covert wars in southern Africa in the 1980s, the book The Plague Wars by Mangold and Goldberg has the following discussion. This is rumination by Dr. Timothy Stamps, who is the health commissioner for Zimbabwe. And he had his suspicions from an epidemiological standpoint that Ebola had been deliberately spread in southern Africa. And this is the author's interview with Dr. Tim Stamps, again, the health commissioner for Zimbabwe. Quote, I have my suspicions about Ebola, too. It developed along the line of the Zambezi River, and I suspect that this may have been an experiment to see if a new virus could be established to infect people. We looked at the serological evidence on strange cases, including a 15-year-old child which occurred in 1980. Nothing really made epidemiological sense. Do I have evidence? Only circumstantial. In fact, the Rhodesian security forces were more expert than the Nazis at covering up evidence, unquote. I would add that in the Bruderbond, there isn't a hard element of overlap between these two. Continuing. Dr. Stamps is speaking weeks before the remarkable evidence was presented by South African soldiers and scientists at the 1998 Truth and Reconciliation Commission's hearings on South Africa's covert biological warfare program. The health minister doesn't know just how close to the truth he is. And skipping down, the authors ask, who brought it in? Stamps picks up a cake knife and points to the south. Where do you think? South Africa, of course. And before we get to Gert's testimony, I would note that documents that were saved by Wouter Bassin and later came to light during the investigation of Project Coast discussed a BL-3 containment laboratory at Rudeplaat in South Africa. This was built with the help of the British, and it was one of a number of elements of technological assistance to this clandestine biological warfare program. And this passage also makes an allusion to the use of this BL-3 containment laboratory at Rudeplaat for offensive use of the hemorrhagic fever viruses Ebola and Marburg. Turning once again to the plague wars, the documents also contained evidence that a private British company had been involved in the intended creation of a BL-3 containment laboratory at Rudeplaat, which would have been used for offensive biological warfare work on the hemorrhagic fever viruses Ebola and Marburg. This British role, however, was not officially sanctioned. It involved one Porton Down employee who had joined Porton International, a private commercial firm formed by old boys from Porton Down. As it turned out, that lab building plant had only failed because de Klerk ordered the termination of Project Coast. Despite denials from London, there was evidence of some British assistance to Basson's program. This was a dirty game. A dirty game, says an NIA officer. The British helped on the margins, but it was still help. The papers showed that both the British and the Americans have behaved hypocritically over this, but so did the Germans, the Israelis, the Swiss, and a large number of greedy academics. How? He would not amplify. I would also note the reference there to Porton International. Ronald Reagan's first commissioner for biological on gene splicing, on biotechnology, had been a director of Porton International. What we're going to look at next is Gert's allegation that both Ebola and AIDS were used as part of Project Coast in the apartheid regime's biological warfare program. And bear in mind that Larry Ford had been involved in with research into both Ebola, Marburg, and AIDS as well. Note also that, as Gert had indicated, that one of the focal points of the South African program was to prevent the spread of the infectious agents to members of the South African military. Once again, this interview is with Gert, who worked for Wouter Basson and alongside of Larry Ford. Look, I know what one of the very, 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 very secret specialized units had. We had to test it, and that was viral capsules that were specifically related to Congo fever and the hemorrhagic fevers. Ebola? Yes. So Gert is beginning to corroborate Dr. Stamp's suspicions in Harare that Ebola and Marburg, although indigenous, were also artificially seeded into southern Africa. Basson, says Gert, was involved in all this. When the last terrible Ebola outbreak occurred in Kikwit, Zaire, as late as 1995, Gert claims that Basson was there unofficially. 20 years earlier, when the village of Yambuku in northern Zaire witnessed one of the first major Ebola outbreaks, two South African scientists were there, allegedly working hand-in-glove with U.S. military personnel from Fort Detrick. Slowly, patiently, Gert confesses that these terrible viruses were researched for offensive use by South Africa. Next, he talks elliptically about, quote, taking out, unquote, certain enemy units, even though these actions had no military value. It was done in order to find the one soldier who, according to military intelligence, had contracted a hemorrhagic fever. These sick people would then be evacuated from the border areas to South Africa to see what the effect was, obviously. You wanted to see the effect because you had sown the disease, right? For sure. I can tell you that I know of this thing because I did it myself. I did the evacuations. It was up in eastern Angola. We're talking about mid-80s. Gert lifts another veil. There was some HIV tampering, he says. Meaning? I mean, all you have to do is get one covert guy, he's HIV positive, he's of the area, you get him to infiltrate the whole town and screw the whole lot, get him out, and then shoot him. Was that really done? If I tell you, it was obviously done. Look, I was a wild guy. At one stage, I worked with the police, I worked with national intelligence, I worked with military intelligence, I worked with 7th Med, I worked with everybody. I was never identified because only a very few people knew where I was positioned. Was Basson your boss? No, it was higher up, both politically and militarily. And we're going to continue with discussion of not only AIDS and Ebola as biological warfare weapons, but specifically we're going to take a look at the possibility that the elements who were utilizing these went underground and did not disappear at the end of the apartheid regime. However, that's going to be inside two of this program. This concludes Side A of For the Record Program number 324. At the end of Side 2, I'll give you information about sister station WFMU and Spitfire, both sources where you can get information about additional programs. That concludes Side A of For the Record Program 324. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.